Tristan's facade crumbled as soon as the door closed. "Watch the anaesthetic for a minute, Jim," he croaked. He went over to the basin in the corner, filled a measuring jar with cold water, and drank it in a long gulp. Then he soaked some cotton wool under the tap and applied it to his brow. "I wish he hadn't come in just then. I'm in no mood for the raised voices and angry words." He reached up to a large bottle of aspirin, swallowed a few and washed them down with another gargantuan draught. "All right then, Jim," he murmured as he returned to the table and took over the mask again. "Let's go." I bent once more over the sleeping dog. He was a Scottie called Hamish, and his mistress, Miss Westerman, had brought him in 2 days ago. She was a retired schoolteacher, and I always used to think she must have had little trouble in keeping her class in order. The chilly, pale eyes looking straight into mine reminded me that she was as tall as I was, and the square jaw between the muscular shoulders completed a redoubtable presence.
"Mr. Harriet," she barked, "I want you to have a look at Hamish. I do hope it's nothing serious, but his ear has become very swollen and painful. They don't get, cancer there, do they?"
For a moment, the steady gaze wavered. "Oh, that's most unlikely." I lifted the little animal's chin and looked at the left ear, which was drooping over the side of his face. His whole head, in fact, was askew, as though dragged down by pain. Carefully, I lifted the ear and touched the tense swelling with a forefinger. Hamish looked round at me and whimpered. "Yes, I know, old chap, it's tender, isn't it?" As I turned to Miss Westerman, I almost bumped into the close-cropped iron-grey head, which was hovering close over the little dog. "He's got an oral hematoma," I said.
"What on earth is that?"
"It's when the little blood vessels between the skin and cartilage of the ear rupture, and the blood flows out and causes this acute distension." She patted the jet black shaggy coat.
"But what causes it?"
"Canker, usually. Has he been shaking his head lately?"
"Yes, now you mention it, he has. Just as though he had got something in his ear and was trying to get rid of it."
"Well, that's what bursts the blood vessels. I can see he has a touch of canker, though it isn't common in this breed." She nodded.
"I see. And how can you cure it?"
"Only by an operation, I'm afraid."
"Oh, dear."
She put her hand to her mouth.
"I'm not keen on that."
"There's nothing to worry about," I said. "It's just a case of letting the blood out and stitching the layers of the ear together. If we don't do this soon, he'll suffer a lot of pain and finish up with a cauliflower ear. And we don't want that, because he's a bonny little chap." I meant it, too. Hamish was a proud, strutting, trim little dog. The Scottish Terrier is an attractive creature, and I often lament that there are so few around in these modern days. After some hesitation, Miss Westerman agreed, and we fixed the date 2 days from then. When she brought him in for the operation, she deposited Hamish in my arms, stroked his head again and again, then looked from Tristan to me, and back again.
"You'll take care of him, won't you?"
she said, and the jaw jutted and the pale blue eyes stabbed. For a moment I felt like a little boy caught in mischief, and I think my colleague felt the same because he blew out his breath as the lady departed. "By gum, Jim, she's a tough baby," he muttered. "I wouldn't like to get on the wrong side of her." I nodded. "Yes. And she thinks all the world of this dog. So let's make a good job of him." After Siegfried's departure, I lifted the ear, which was now a turgid cone, and made an incision along the inner skin. As the pent-up blood gushed forth, I caught it in an enamel dish. Then I squeezed several big clots through the wound. "No wonder the poor little chap was in pain," I said softly. "He'll feel a lot better when he wakes up." I filled the cavity between skin and cartilage with sulfanilamide, then began to stitch the layers together using a row of buttons. You had to do something like this, or the thing filled up again within a few days. When I first began to operate on oral hematoma, I used to pack the interior with gauze, then bandage the ear to the head. The owners often made little granny hats to try to keep the bandage in place, but a frisky dog usually had it off very soon. The buttons were a far better idea, and kept the layers in close contact, lessening the chance of distortion. By lunchtime, Hamish had come round from the anaesthetic, and though still slightly dopey, he already seemed to be relieved that his bulging ear had been deflated. Miss Westerman had gone away for the day and was due to pick him up in the evening. The little dog, curled in his basket, waited philosophically. At tea time, Siegfried glanced across the table at his brother. "I'm going off to Broughton for a few hours, Tristan," he said. "I want you to stay in the house and give Miss Westerman her dog when she arrives. I don't know just when she'll come." He scooped out a spoonful of jam. "You can keep an eye on the patient and do a bit of studying, too. It's about time you had a night at home." Tristan nodded. "Right, I'll do that." But I could see he wasn't enthusiastic. When Siegfried had driven away, Tristan rubbed his chin and gazed reflectively through the French windows into the darkening garden. "This is distinctly awkward, Jim."
"Why?"
"Well, Lydia has tonight off, and I promised to see her." He whistled a few bars under his breath. "It seems a pity to waste the opportunity just when things are building up nicely. I've got a strong feeling that girl fancies me. In fact, she's nearly eating out of my hand." I looked at him wonderingly. "My God, I thought you'd want a bit of peace and quiet and an early bed after last night." "Not me," he said. "I'm raring to go again." And indeed, he looked fresh and fit, eyes sparkling, roses back in his cheeks. "Look, Jim," he went on, "I don't suppose you could stick around with this dog." I shrugged. "Sorry, Tris, I'm going back to see that cow of Ted Binns, right at the top of the dale. I'll be away for nearly 2 hours."